بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created anyone more better and more virtuous than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unique, and everything associated to him was unique also. He was the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, his every sunnah, every way, every action, every style was the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had molded his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that if somebody emulated him, if somebody copied him, if somebody tried his utmost to become like him, then this person too will become beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The incidents mentioned by Maulana Safwan in his lecture, majority of them must have gone over our heads, because they are beyond our comprehension. For me and you, very simple thing. This was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I need to become like him. This is how he used to dress. This is how he used to eat. This is how he used to sleep. As a result, how Allah deals with me, what Allah gives me in this world, in the hereafter, that is up to Allah. My only desire is to become like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Teri mi'raj ke tu loho kalam tak pahuncha. Meri mi'raj ke main tere kadam tak pahuncha. Dreams, seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many other things, episodes from the lives of the pious predecessors, beyond our intellect. They should not be the objectives. Simple objective is that I want to become the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Slave meaning worship him? No. Slave meaning I want to follow in his footsteps. I want to submit to his teachings. Teri mi'raj. Your mi'raj was, teri mi'raj ke tu loho kalam tak pohuncha. That was your mi'raj. From Makkah Mukarrama, you were taken to Baitul Maqdis. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, Sidratul Muntaha. Jannat, Jahannam, Lohi Mahfuz, Qalam, the pen, Noon wal Qalam wa ma yasturun. The pen writing in Lohi Mahfuz. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed all this. That was his mi'raj. What is our mi'raj? Our mi'raj is that we submit to the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We reach his footsteps and thereafter continue following his footsteps. Teri me'raj ke tu loho qalam tak pahuncha, meri me'raj ke main tere qadam tak pahuncha. Nakshe qadam, the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nakshe qadam nabi ke, the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nakshe qadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste. The footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are paths towards Jannah. That means when a person follows in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will end up in Jannah. Nakshe qadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hain sunnat ke raaste. The sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam connects a person to sunan. Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala says that we are the followers of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So naturally, we find love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naturally, we would want to become the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would like to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to become the mahbub of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person cannot be the mahbub of Allah but not the mahbub of Rasul. Or mahbub of Rasul but not the mahbub. If he is mahbub of Rasul, he is mahbub of Allah. And if he is mahbub of Allah, he is mahbub of Rasul. So naturally, not only do we want to love them, we also want to become beloved. So Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahmatullah alayhi says that we want to become the beloved of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we should turn to Allah and we should ask Him that how can I become the beloved of Allah? How can I become your beloved? How can I become the beloved of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And you see that if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that study the life of my beloved and become like my beloved, you will become my beloved. And then he recited this verse, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Following my footsteps, you will become the beloved of Allah. So very simple lesson that we need to embed in our hearts and minds. Otherwise, after listening to these episodes, some people might start a discussion within their own hearts and minds. How can this happen? How did this happen? Very simple. Islam is simple. The teachings of Islam are simple. And we need to follow a very easy and simple Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself says that the deen I have brought is as-samha, simple and easy. And what is that? I need to study the life of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I need to become like him. As much as possible, I need to imitate him. And it is so easy. It's not difficult at all. It's very, very easy. All you need is little bit of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I say little bit of love, that means even if a person has little bit of love, he'll be able to tread this path. And then the love will eventually increase. The love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should love him more than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than our own lives. More than our own lives. Nabi ki izzat o hurmat pe marna aine ima hai. Nabi ki izzat o hurmat pe marna aine ima hai. Sare maktal bhi unka zikr karna aine ima hai. ڈراتا ہے ہمیں دارو رسن سے کیوں ارے نادا نبی کے عشق میں سولی پہ چڑھنا اے نعیمہ ہے. A mu'min has so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that for him to give life for his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is iman itself. The sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jameen, they were prepared to give their lives in order to safeguard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. آپ ہی ہیں مقصود ہمارے دل کے اجالے آنکھ کے تارے, آپ پہ میری جان ہے قرباں, آپ ہیں مجھ کو جان سے پیارے. یو آر مور بیلوڈ ٹو می دین مائی اون لائف. بٹ ایون اف اے پرسن ڈز ناٹ ہیو دس مچ لو ان دا انیشل سٹیجز, لٹل بٹ آف لو, and with that little bit of love he begins to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he begins to imitate him. As his imitation increases, the love will increase, and as the love increases, the imitation will increase. They both go hand in hand together. Imitation will increase the love and the love will increase the imitation. Ittiba will increase muhabba and muhabba will increase ittiba. We sit down to eat daily. Attention, little bit of muhabba, attention, and the zeal to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We sit down to eat daily. I am 52 years old. In 52 years, how many times must I have eaten? But we have, in 52 years, 50 years, 40 years, wasted the opportunity of benefiting from this eating. If only before eating, little bit of attention, and then with this attention, intention was made that I am going to consume food because for survival, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to consume food. So this is his way. This is his sunnah. Therefore I am eating. Now this food becomes sunnah. We go to sleep every day. 8 hours wasted. I'm going to sleep because my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to sleep. Every night he used to go to sleep. So I'm also following his sunnah and I'm also going to sleep. Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala says that I exercised with attention on these issues, and now every second of my life is nothing but imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, when I go in my home, my children, my grandchildren come running towards me. So in the initial stages, I would control my emotions and close my eyes for a while and mentally motivate myself. So I would not pick up the child for my desire because of my emotions. No, I would motivate myself to think correctly, and I would say that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter the home of Fatima, this is how Hassan and Hussein would come running towards him. And he would also pick them up. So now, my child is coming towards me, my grandchild is coming towards me, I will pick them up because my Nabi used to do this. In the initial stages, I had to exert a little bit of effort. Like the learner in the initial stages has to be very, very cautious, alert, attentive. This is the brake, this is the accelerator, this is the clutch, this is the gearbox, mirror. In the initial stages, if somebody talks to him, he says, no, don't talk to me. He will not even reply. And when he gets the hang of it, he will travel from Leicester to London. And if you ask him that how many times were you looking in the mirror, he says, no, I can't remember all that. He will talk all the way. Similarly, in the initial stages, we have to exert a little bit of effort, and thereafter it becomes normal exercise. And then, because of imitation, love will increase. And when love increases, our minds will go towards those items. Our minds will go towards those items towards which before the mind did not go. Why? Because the mold inside will change. The system inside will change. The system inside will be transformed into ittiba'i sunnat. So the mind always thinks about sunnat. So make a firm resolution, inshallah, that in every aspect of our lives, we will try to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me also tell you this, that there is one sunnah which is the terminology of fiqh. So you have fard, this is terminology, fard compulsory, wajib incumbent. Then you have sunnah, sunnah muakkada, without any valid reason. If you leave sunnah muakkada, you will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Sunnah ghair muakkada. Even if you live without valid reason, you will not be questioned. Mustahab, desirable. Nafl, option. So, farz, wajib, sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair. This sunnah muakkada, this is technical term. And sunnah, the literal meaning of sunnah is path and way. So, when we say follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not talking about sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada and mustahabbat only. Follow the sunnah, follow the path means the whole life. Fard is also way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wajib is also the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah is also the way of the whole life. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. One who loves my way, one who loves my whole system, then he definitely loves me. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. One who loves my way definitely loves me. Wa man ahabbani kana ma'iyya fil jannah. And one who loves me will be with me in Jannah. So we need to exert effort in order to bring the whole sunnah in our lives. The sunnah in the form of fard, the sunnah in the form of wajib, the sunnah in the form of sunnah muakkada, the sunnah in the form of sunnah ghair muakkada, the sunnah in the form of mustahab. The whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sunnah in the form of fard is the most important. Then sunnah in the form of wajib. Then sunnah in the form of sunnah muakkada. Then sunnah in the form of sunnah ghair muakkada. Then sunnah in the form of mustahab. So does that mean I should not concentrate on mustahab and sunnah ghair muakkada until fard is in control? Wajib is? No. No. For success, fard, wajib is necessary. But a person should not wait for all the faraid and all the wajibat to come in our lives. Because every mustahab act, every sunnah act has a spiritual benefit. So when a person carries out any small deed, whether it's mustahab, whether it's sunnah, then it nurtures a person, it strengthens a person spiritually. So the weak person who was unable to carry out fard and is able to carry out the small sunnats, the mustahabbat, as a result of carrying out mustahabbat, slowly he will gain strength, and soon he will find that now sunnah ghair muakkada is becoming easy. And then he will find that now sunnah muakkada is becoming easy. And then he will find that now wajib is also easy. And then soon he will find that now fard is also very easy. So all are important. All are important. Whatever we are able to do, as far as the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is concerned, we should follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Shaykhul Hadith Murana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, minutes or moments before he passed away, his final wudu in this world. And I have heard this directly from those people who have witnessed this incident. Final moments. And Shaykhul Hadith Murana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi desires to perform wudu. Wudu. His khuddam, those around him, his students, they were very much in pain and grief. They had so much love for Shaykhul Hadith Rahimahullah Ta'ala. True murid have more love for their shuyukh than themselves. You see history repeating, just as the Sahaba had a lot of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying because they are indebted to their Shaykh for teaching them deen, for connecting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they find a lot of love for their Shaykh. That it is my Shaykh who has brought this awareness to me that there is something called the love of Allah. Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi, tera dard kya hai ya Rab, tere aashikon se seekha, tere sange dar pe marna. Now I am prepared to even sacrifice my life for you. And before I met this wali of yours, I did not even know what your love was. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years pass. Until we do not go in the company of somebody who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't even know that I should say to Allah that, oh Allah, grant me your love, I want to love you. Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi, tera dard kiya hai ya Rab, tere aashikon se seekha, tere sang dar pe marna. Meri zindagi ka hasil, meri zist ka sahara, tere aashikon mein jeena, tere aashikon mein marna. Kisi ahle dil ki sohbat, jo mili kisi ko akhtar, usse a gaya hai jeena, usse a gaya hai marna. Because the murid realizes, after he progresses, that I was nothing. I was an animal before I came in the company of my Shaykh. And it is through him all the realization come, and it is through him all the progress. So just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us, but through the medium of our parents, and because they are the medium, we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to revere them. Similarly, it is Allah who elevates our spiritual status, but through the medium of our Shaykh. And it is for this reason we need to revere the Shaykh also. So one can imagine how those people around Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi must have been feeling. So Shaykhul Hadith Rahimahullah Ta'ala was made to perform wudu. Final moments. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Final moments. But he is so aware and alert as far as the path and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, that when they forget to give him miswak, he reminds them that miswak. They make him wash the hand, they make him gargle the mouth, and they go towards the nostril. He says, miswak, miswak. They were so much in grief that they forgot the miswak. But Shaykhul Hadith, who was at the brink of death, could not forget miswak. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, final moments. He is so close to death that his tongue is unable to speak. The tongue has become heavy now. So he is on his deathbed. And he indicates with his eyes towards his feet. The khuddam around him, they understand that it is Hazrat's desire that his socks be taken off. So they start taking his sock off. So Hazrat somehow pulls his feet back, indicating that no. And after a while, he again indicates with his eyes towards his feet. The khuddam look at each other and they come to this conclusion that yes, Hazrat, they try again, but he pulls his feet back. Three times, four times, they eventually decide to call the son of Hadratji Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Hadratji Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And they put the whole scenario in front of him. So Hadratji Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi asks his father, Abbaji, what is it that you desire? So again he indicates with his eyes towards his feet. And Hadratji Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi also understands the same message. He says, take his socks off. They say, we have been trying to do that, but he pulls his feet back. He said, no, you take his socks off. When they start again, he pulls his feet back. Hadratji Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that he is pulling his feet back because you are not taking out his socks according to the Sunnah method. At the brink of death, he is unable to speak. And moments before he passes away, and the socks, they are causing him inconvenience. But despite that, he is not letting them take off the socks against the method of the Sunnah. What is the method of the Sunnah? When you put on clothing, first right and then left. So when you put your shoes or slippers on, first right and then left. When you take your clothes off, or when you take your shoes off, first left and then right. Now these are those sunan that it doesn't make any difference to our lives. Like entering the masjid is sunnah to enter with the right foot. And to leave the masjid, it is sunnah to leave the masjid with the left foot. Now whether we enter the masjid with right or left, what does it make difference? What difference does it make to our lives? Similarly, when you enter the lavatory, you enter with the left foot. When you leave the lavatory, you leave with the right foot. What difference does it make to our lives? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. You are not taking out the socks according to the sunnah method. Instead of taking the left out, you are first removing the right. So remove the left first and then the right. Hadratji Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his system was ittiba'i sunnat. And his son Hadratji Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his system was ittiba'i sunnat. So they both understood. Nowadays we have these grand masajid, where you have the masjid and then the foyer, offices, place for wudu. Even now, in areas where people are not so well off, masjid is four walls. Masjid is four walls. So you take your shoes off where the masjid begins, and you put on your shoes where the masjid ends. So when you're leaving the masjid, you put on your shoes where the masjid ends. It's not like here that the masjid ends at the back, at the door. So it's very easy. When we leave this masjid, we leave the masjid with the left foot. And then when we leave the shoe area, then first we place the right foot in the shoe. So we are practicing both the sunnats. But if you have a masjid where the masjid ends at the door, and you are to put on your shoes just at the door, if you, according to the sunnah, take out your left foot first, then the left foot would go in the shoe. So you have accomplished one sunnah, but you have missed out on the other sunnah. And if you try to practice the sunnah of wearing the shoes and take out the right foot, then you've missed the other sunnah. So some people discussed amongst themselves that how is it possible to practice both the sunnahs? Many of you must have already seen people practice this method in order to carry out both sunnahs. Where have they learned this from? They have learned this from Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. This is where they have learned this from. So the people, ulama, people means ulama, ulama of very high caliber, they were discussing amongst themselves as to how one is able to practice both sunnats. If you take the left foot out first, you cannot put the right foot in the shoe first. Because of dirt, people would like to enter the foot right into the shoe. And if you enter the right foot in the shoe first, then you cannot take out the left foot first from the masjid. How can we practice these two sunnats in one go? So everybody came to this conclusion that there is no one better than Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi for this. And they did not go and inquire from him. They knew that his life was full of sunnah. So they said, after Salat, we will observe Hazrat how he leaves the masjid. His life was so much full of sunnah. So much. These were the true ushaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whose lives were in total conformity to the sunnah. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanutvi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala. One day Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala was going somewhere with his wife. And as I have mentioned earlier to my young friend, that we have to behave in a dignified manner after we grow up. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi was going from Thana Bhavan to another village. And between Thana Bhavan and village, he had to pass by a small jungle, trees. So when he reached the midst of the jungle, he looked behind him, he looked in front of him, he looked to the right and he looked to the left. And he said to his wife that there is one sunnah I have not managed to fulfill yet. And this is the opportunity. There is no better opportunity than this. There is only me and you. So the wife said, which sunnah is that? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day raced with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He raced with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And these are the people regarding whom some people say they had no love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. What do we find in the hadith? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dignified. So obviously he did not do this in front of the Sahaba. Aisha reports that one day we raced and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went ahead of me. Aisha radiallahu anha says, in the initial stages of marriage, he went ahead of me. He said, after a few years, another opportunity arose. So we raced again. And this time, because of old age, the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become heavy. So I won this time. And I said, this is in return for that race. So, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that there is one sunnah which I wanted to practice, but no opportunity. Today it's only me and you in this jungle. Let's have a race. And he raced with his wife. Only to carry out the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All our mashayikh. And not only our mashayikh of Deoband. Right from the time of the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in until today. All mashayikh. All awliya are unanimous that the only way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through ittiba'i sunnat. There is no other way. There is no other way. Only through ittiba'i sunnat. It is for this reason all our mashayikh who were peers, they observed strict parda, strict hijab from women. Until the last breath, they followed the Sharia. Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, if you see somebody flying in the air, miracle, flying in the air. If you see somebody walking on water, but if you find his life contrary to Sharia, then know that he is not wali, he is a shaitan. Dajjal will also show so many extraordinary feats. That will not make him wali. Every extraordinary feat is not a karamat. If something extraordinary takes place from a person who strictly follows the Sharia, that is karamat. And if extraordinary feat takes place from a person who does not strictly follow the Sharia, it is istidraj, it is from shaitan. And shaitan is using him to deviate us, mislead us. And this is the greatest karamat, greatest miracle, that a person adheres strictly to the Sharia brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person came in the company of Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, great wali of his time. And he remained with him for a year, 2 years, 3 years. No miracle, no karamat. It is the unanimous opinion of all the awliya, that in order for one to be a wali in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not have to show any karamat. Karamat and miracle is not a requirement. What is the requirement of a wali? That he strictly adheres to the Sharia, the commands and laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In regards to halal, haram, farz, wajib, he does not compromise. In matters of Sharia, he does not compromise. This is the criteria for wilayah. Now many people have misconceptions. So this person also had misconception. After a few years he said, I am not satisfied with you. So it's pointless staying here and trying to acquire some spiritual benefit from you. So please give me permission to leave. He said, fine, you may leave, you may go, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you somewhere where you will be able to benefit spiritually. I have never claimed to be perfect, but can I know what is it that you have seen me that has put you off so that I may rectify myself? These great mashaykh were always concerned about the islah. Concern. Can you tell me what is it that you have seen in me that has put you off? Hakim ul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, if somebody used to come to him and say that, Hazrat, I have backbited you, please forgive me. So Hazrat would ask him, or Hazrat would rather say to him that, I will only forgive you on the condition that you tell me what you have spoken about me. Now it is very embarrassing. And if the person refuses to disclose what he has spoken about, if the person refuses, then the forgiving can also refuse that, no, I will not forgive you. This is my condition, you have to tell me. So somebody said to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, that when people come to you and they say that I have backbited you, and it is necessary that you have to let the person know what mistake, if, for example, if I was to generally say that, Ahmed bhai, if I have made any errors in your regard, or I have made many errors in your regard, please forgive me, and if he wishes to, it will be forgiven. But if he says, please give me detail, then I will have to let him know, I owe you 50 pounds, I have backbited you, I have slandered you. It is compulsory because it is his right. So somebody said, Hazrat, when people come to you and they say that I have backbited you, please forgive me, you ask them to disclose the details, it is very embarrassing for them. So Hazrat said, no, I do not do this to embarrass them. Why I ask them is because wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Wherever there is smoke, there is fire. If something has compelled him to backbite me, then there must be some fault in my life. So I ask him regarding the details of backbiting so I can rectify myself. They were always worried about their akhirah, about akhirah. So Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala said, disclose the fault that has put you off. So he said that I have not seen any karamat, no miracle. People always, when they go to mashayikh, look for extraordinary things. extraordinary things. All that a person needs to see in a true Shaykh is whether he is strict as far as the adherence to Sharia is concerned or not. And whether a person in his company develops the zeal to come close to Allah, to become the beloved of Allah, to make Allah his beloved. Whether he develops in his company the zeal to make his akhirat better or not. That is what a person needs to see. Those around him, are they following the Sharia or not? Those who have been going in his company, there are many people we know that this person continually goes there. Is their life changing or not? Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala said, that is true. No karamat. That is a fault that you have seen. You may leave. But before you go, I want to ask you a question. In the years that you have lived with me, you have observed me from a very close distance. Have you ever seen me do anything against Sharia? So he said, no. So he said, that is the greatest karama. He said, I am saying this to you because when you go to another Sheikh, you might look at him with the same glasses as well. Karamat. Don't look for karamat. This is al-istiqamat fawq al-karamat. Istiqamat is above karamat. It is more higher thing than karamat. So I was talking about Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahullah ta'ala. We should observe. His life was so much in conformity with Sunnah that his Khalifa, his senior Khalifa, and the Shaykh of Maulana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, a person came to Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, and he said that in this action, what is the Sunnah method? Regarding a particular action, he asked, is muamale mein sunnat tariqa kiya hai? Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi had passed away. And after the demise of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, this person who was the murid of Maulana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi now comes to his senior Khalifa and he says that what is the sunnah method in this action? Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi asked him, aapne Hazrat ko ye kaam karte huye dekha hai? Have you observed Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi carry out this action? So the person said, yes, ji haan, maine dekha hai. Maine dekha hai. Maulana Khalil Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi did not have any doubt whatsoever that it must be according to Sunnah. He did not say, how did you observe him carry out this act? No, he did not say that. Have you seen Hazrat carry out this act? Yes, I have seen. Okay, that is Sunnah. That is Sunnah. He was so sure regarding Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi that every action of his is in according to Sunnah. That is why these ulama came to conclusion that we will only be able to solve this problem when we see Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi leave the masjid. So after Salat, they all waited for Hazrat to come out. When Hazrat came to the door of the masjid and shoes or slippers were placed in front of him, he took out the left foot. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. And he placed his left foot on the shoe. He did not enter the foot in the shoe. He put his left foot on the shoe. And then he took out his right foot and he entered the right foot into the shoe and then he lifted his left foot and thereafter he entered it into the shoe. Now many people do this here in the shoe area. You are already out of the masjid. In the UK you don't need to do that. Because masjid is only up to here. And in the shoe area you are already out of the masjid. So you don't have to place your left foot on the left shoe. Direct into the right foot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Why were they able to copy the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When you fall in love with somebody, then you like to imitate him. Children of 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, they don't even know what love is. 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, they don't know what love is. But they are interested in football. Interested in football. They fall in love with a particular team. And from that team, they fall in love with a particular player. Now they insist from the parents that I want the same t-shirt, same color, and the same number. Whether it's 7 or whether it's 9, what difference does it make? No, same. Same. When a person claims to have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I am ashik of Rasul, I am the true lover of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but his life contradicts the life of his Rasul, he is a liar. Man idda'a mahabbatan lillah. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala writes in his tafsir, Man idda'a mahabbatan lillah وَلَيْسَ هُوَ عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ الْمُحَمَّدِيَّةِ. One who claims to have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but his life is not on the tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ فِي دَعْوَاهُ. He is a liar in his claim. تَعَسِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْفِعَالِ قَبِيحُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, he says that you disobey the Creator or you disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you say, I love Allah, I love Rasul, I love Allah, I love Rasul. This claim is false. What you are doing is not good. Why? Because the principle is, لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَتَعَتَهُ. If your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was truthful, then you would have obeyed him. Because the principle is, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Because the ashik, the true lover, is always obedient to the one whom he loves. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain's hearts were filled with love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, they always imitated him. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he got up from his camel. And he sat down to urinate. But he did not urinate. Why he did not urinate? Because he did not have the need to. Or, how could he urinate in the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinated? So either he did not have the need, or but he was not going to urinate in that place. But he got off the camel. Now in those days, to get off the camel, to tie the camel, find a place to tie the camel, difficult task. He got off the camel. And not only one place, to every place. Wherever he had seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinate, he got off the camel, he sat down as if he is urinating. When asked, he said, this is where, whilst traveling, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinated. That is how much they imitated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, all the true lovers, up until our time, love automatically compels you to imitate the one whom you love. It's very simple. So let us create in our hearts, or increase in our hearts, the love for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by reading his seerah, by talking about him. Nowadays the problem with Muslims is that the non-Muslims are disgracing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through various means, and the Muslims are unaware of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marches, damaging people's properties, burning people's properties in anger will not solve our problems. And that is not the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
somebody tries to disgrace and abuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by creating a cartoon and we burn shops and houses in Pakistan of our own Muslim brothers. Is this the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we really and truthfully, if we really and truthfully look at our lives and what we are doing, we are more worse than the non-Muslims in this regard. Because the sunan that we are violating of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the ahkam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we are violating, only Allah knows how much pain we are bringing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What we need to do is to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sabr, patience, tolerance, akhlaq, good morals, good characters, and implement them in our lives so that the people can see true models of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. True models. We need to become true models of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We need to study his seerah and become like him. Nobody can become exactly like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that should be our goal. If we do this, my friends, it will go a long way in removing the misconceptions that the non-Muslims have regarding Muslims and Islam. And we will do a great service to the deen of Islam. We will do a great service to the ummah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each person make a firm resolution that inshallah after discussion with a good alim, in whom he has confidence and he knows, he will choose a book on seerah and read and study that seerah from beginning till end. And read it 3 times. First time you will benefit, second time you will understand more, third time you will understand even more. Thereafter again contact the alim and ask him for another book on seerah written by another alim, and continue this cycle until you breathe your last, and try to remember as much as you can from this great life, and try to explain it to others also, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. لا إله إلا الله، نستغفر الله، نسألك جنة الفردوس ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اجعلنا من أتقاء شهر رمضان. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا، أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر، لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين، واجعلنا من المتطهرين، واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين الفائزين المفلحين المكرمين المكرمين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين، اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.